And the church says, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight. We're going to be in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 73. And we're going to do something tonight that I've never done. We're going to try, I'm going to do my best to complete the longest psalm in the Bible tonight, and we're going to cover a lot of verses, okay? And so you're going to have to bear with me, but here's, tonight is a very important word, and it's entitled Hope in Hopeless Times. And you know what? We are, everything out there looks hopeless, doesn't it? But you know what? We're not hopeless, amen? Because we have the God of all hope. The Bible says those who hope in the Lord, as I said, they will renew their strength or exchange their strength. Amen? So whenever we use the word hope, the Bible definition of hope, that doesn't mean I hope so. Bible hope is the sure, confident, certain expectation in the faithfulness of God and the promises of His Word. Amen? We can rest on His promises. So remember that as we look tonight at verse 73 in this great psalm, remember that there's 22 sections of 8 verses, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so in all of these 8 sections, they start out in alphabetical order and they run through until the entire end of the Psalm 119. Now, with all that being said, we don't know who the psalmist is. A lot of people believe it's David. But I'm telling you, he is living in hard times, in things when things look so hopeless. And let me give you a few examples of what he says. In verse 78, he cries out to God and he says, "The proud have treated me wrong with falsehood." Verse 86 and 87, "They persecute me wrongfully. Help me, God. They almost made an end of me on the earth." Verse 157, "Many are my enemies and my persecutors." So where does this individual, where does he go for relief? Where does he go for protection? Where does he go for help? Where does he go when everything looks hopeless and he's living in hopeless times? I'll tell you where he turns to. He goes to God's Word. And we all need to ask us a question. Where do you go to when things look hopeless? Amen? We should always go to the Word of God. So here we come to the letter of the alphabet, Yud, there in verse 73. And he cries out and he says, "Oh, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding," and look at the purpose now, "that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me." And look at the reason, "because I have" what? "I have hoped in your word." See, he is hoping in God's word in hopeless times. Amen? Listen, where do you turn to whenever you're in hopeless, whatever you're facing, hard times? He turned to his creator. He says, "Lord, you made me, you fashioned me," and so forth. Listen, we live in a hopeless world, and the hopeless world, where do they turn to? They don't turn to truth. They're not seeking truth, are they? No, not really. I mean, they're seeking relief in hopeless times. And you know what? The Bible says those that are without Christ, if they're not born from above, they are without God. They are without hope. But we are not without hope. And whenever what do? We go to the Word of God, the sure, expectant, perfect Word of God, the God that never lies. Amen? And that's who we trust in. Listen, look at the next one now, the next letter of the alphabet. That word is pronounced like our word, cough. It means the end of something or the end of a tether, if you will. And let's begin in verse 81. He says, "My soul faints for your salvation, but I" what? There's that word again. "I hope in your word." So his hopeless situation, even though he's not hopeless, it continues. And he says, he cries out, he says, "My soul," meaning all that I am, my entire emotional makeup, it says, "faints for your salvation." He's not talking about being saved. That word salvation there means deliverance. He's saying, "Please rescue me." And he says, "because I faint." He says, "My soul faints for deliverance." meaning I'm at the very end of the rope. I'm at the end of my strength. I'm spent. But what does he place his hope in and trust? He says, I hope in your word. And look at the next one. He says, my eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? So first, his soul was fainting. Now his eyes are failing. And you know why? Because he is waiting and watching in faith and in hope for the promises of God to come and rescue him. Amen? Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Is your marriage, and you could say marriage or anything, but let's just use marriage. Is your marriage, does it feel hopeless? Does it feel like it's fainting? If it does, let me put it to you this way. Both of you should do what the psalmist did. Both of you should wear your eyes out searching through the greatest marriage manual, the Bible, in the history of the world. Amen? Just wear your, and look for the promises of God. And let's be honest tonight now. How many today, and I know just, how many do we really do that? Do we just, when we're fainting or we feel hopeless or we don't know which way to turn, do we really wear ourselves out page after page studying and praying over and finding the promises of God and standing on the promises of God? Because God cannot lie, amen? How we need to do that? He says in verse 83, he says, for I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? And when will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me or set traps for me, which is not according to your law. And then he says this, all your commandments are what? They are faithful. Meaning all of the word of God is faithful. He says, Lord, listen, they are persecuting me wrongfully. And he says, help me. Now, I don't really know what it feels like to be a wineskin in smoke, okay? Come on. Some of you may feel, no, but I don't have a clue. But I'm looking at that, I said, whatever that means, it's bad, okay? And he says, I don't know how many days of my life I have left, but he says, Lord, I am looking to you. I'm looking to you to render judgment on all those who are persecuting me. And the reason, look at verse 87. He said, they almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. In other words, they nearly finished me off, Lord. He says, but I'm not hopeless. I live in a hopeless world, but I'm not hopeless. And I want you to see why. In verse 83, look what he says, the reason he wasn't hopeless. He says, I didn't forget your word. Look at verse 87. I did not forsake your word. And why did he not forsake God's word or forget it? Look at verse 86. All your word is faithful. Loved one, that's faith, isn't it? Amen? He says, oh, cause me to live or revive me according to your loving kindness so I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Lamed, that's the 12th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That word literally means forever or eternal, if you will. That's why it starts out in verse 89, and it says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Or that word settled means stands firm, pardon me, in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides, or literally it stands. They continue this day according to your ordinances. In other words, the sun is still shining. Amen. The seasons come and they go. And the reason? For they are all your servants. Boy, that's what we are. Amen. We are God's servants. We are God's living sacrifices, loved one. He says, unless your law, meaning the word, had been my delight, well, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, never forget your word, for by them you've given me life. I am yours. Save me. For I have sought your precepts. I've gone after your word. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies, or I'm going to give great attention to the Word of God. And I've seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. What he just said is very interesting. He says, everything out here that I'm looking at in this hopeless world is limited. But when I look to your word, it is unlimited. Amen? Listen, God's word is always unlimited. It never returns to him void. Never. It always accomplishes whatever he sent it out to do. Let me give you another version of verse 96. It's from the Amplified. It says this, I have seen that everything human has its limits and end, no matter how extensive, noble, and excellent. But your commandment is exceedingly broad and extends without limits into eternity. That's a great word. God's word has no limit. No limits. Amen? As a matter of fact, God's word is limitless. God rules by his word because his word is timeless. Listen, times change. Cultures change. Man, listen, opinions change. But you know what it says in 1 Peter 2:25 or 1:25? It says, but the word of God endureth forever and ever and ever. Amen? Oh, listen, God's word is not only changeless, it is eternal. It will outlast every attack. No matter what people say, no matter what restrictions they put on God's word will outlast every attack. It will outlast every generation. Amen? And it will even outlast all of this universe that we live in. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 12:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Amen? God's word is eternal. Look at Mem now, the next alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet, Mem. That means God's word is sweet. It says in verse 97, oh, how I love your law, or love your word. It is my meditation all the day. You know, for a new creation, a true characteristic of someone who's truly born again, they love God's word. Amen? You like being in God's word. You like studying God's word. Amen? Man, and he says right here, I meditate on it. He doesn't say I read the word all day. He says, but I meditate, and I want you to look at what meditating, his meditating upon the word accomplished for him and accomplishes for us as well. Look what it produces in verse 98. Through your commandments, in other words, when I meditate upon your word, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. In other words, the word of God becomes my constant guide. Do you know that? Remember, that's what God commanded Joshua. Remember when he was going in and to take the promised land? He told Joshua, Joshua 1:8, I believe it is, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That's what meditating upon the Word of God does. Amen? It gets into your heart. And not only that, look what else meditating on God's Word does. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Wouldn't that be a great thing to sit in college class and say that? Man. For your testimonies are my meditation. He says, I understand more than the ancients or the older people. Why? Because I keep your word or your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I've not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Here's what happens. The more that you meditate, I'm talking about, you know, meditate means to like chew the cud. You know what I'm talking about? It means to mutter to yourself, you know, to talk it out loud. I don't know if you remember, like my grandmother, you know, she had a reading glass. You know what I'm saying? Those big, big old reading glasses. She would read everything out loud. I mean, I'm going, hello, grandma, be quiet. No, you know, But she would just read it out loud. And that's the way she did it. And you know, that's what he's saying. Read it out loud. You're not only verbalizing, but you're hearing it. Did you know that something happens when you do that? Huh? Yes, absolutely. And so what happens is the word of God gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. He said, I understand more than the ancients. I mean, you know, the over the hill gang. You know what I mean? Never mind. Only three people get my old stuff, you know? You know, and you know why he understands more than the age? It's because they've already forgotten what they knew, you know? So Job put it this way in Job 32:9, great men or older men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand judgment or justice, what is right. So see, just because a person is old, that's not a guarantee you're going to have a lot of wisdom, a lot of understanding. But I tell you what, if you meditate on God's word, you do have that. Amen? Now, the Bible tells us in Psalm 1:2, it says this, but his delight is in the law or the word of the Lord, and in this law he meditates day and night. That means that God's word is the greatest influence in this person's life. And it says, when you do that, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever that person does, they shall prosper. Now, let's look at the next alphabetical word. It's N-U-N. It's pronounced just like it sounds, none. So your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. We live in a world, not only is it a dark world, not only is it a hopeless world, we live in a world that is, I'm telling you, we have mental and cultural changes, it seems like every week. Someone told me today, and I don't mean no offense, okay, no offense to anybody, no one, this is just someone told me today, that in my old high school, it's a great school back then. I don't know what it's like today. That the students are all leaving their classes, walking down the halls with dog leashes on, and somebody, you know, and they're barking. Now, listen, what do you think that means? Never mind. No, I'm not joking. I mean, it's like crazy, the things that are happening. And I'm going, why? I mean, we didn't do stupid stuff like that when I was a kid, you know? You know, I remember the, no, I'm not telling you that. No, I'm not, Lord forgive me, I'll just erase all of that. Here's the deal. We live in a dark world, a hopeless world, and we need God's lamp to guide us. Amen? We need God's light to guide us. It never goes out. Amen? It never needs recharging. It never needs updating. Man, listen, it never will lead you astray. Remember when the prophecy, the song I forget who it was, Simeon, I think it was. Remember when he was singing the songs of Luke there, the Christmas songs, if you will? And one of the messianic scriptures, Luke 1:79, that says this. It says, when the Messiah comes, it says, will be to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Listen, you know what? A person, they don't know it, but if they don't know God's word, if they're not born from above, there's no light. You can't have light without God's word. You don't have a lamp, amen? You can't light up your direction. You don't know where you're going. Your path is full of darkness. That's why it says they sit in the shadow of darkness, meaning the only light is just a shadow. And that shadow is darkness, the darkness of death, loved one. Oh, listen, we should be thanking God that we who were once darkness, we're not darkness anymore. Amen. Matter of fact, we've been translated out of the kingdom, the power of darkness, all the way over into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Amen. And I thank God for that. The Bible tells us this in Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment or the word of God is a lamp and the law is a light. It's reproof of instructions are the way of life. What did Jesus tell us? He said, I am the light of the world in what John 8:12. He said, I'm the light of the world, and that he who follows me, he who comes after me, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Boy, God's word is a lamp. It'll light up your path. And how we need that, loved one. We need that so much. 106 now. He says, I have sworn, or I've taken an oath and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I'm afflicted very much. He says, oh, revive me, or cause me to live, O Lord, according to your word. In other words, he's looking to the promises of God. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth. He says, man, I am praising you, Lord. I'm praying to you. He says, oh, teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, or literally, my life is hanging in the balance. Yet I don't forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I've strayed from your precepts. I'm not strayed from your precepts, and your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. That's a great word. He says, your word is my inheritance. Man, I'm telling you, amen to that. He says, listen, your word is like money or wealth to me. It's like treasure. It's my hope. And he says, look what he says, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Now look how, I want you to connect this. Connect the rejoicing of my heart with verse 112, the directed heart. Watch. I have inclined, or that word means directed, I have directed my heart to perform, or literally to obey your statutes, your word, forever to the very end. May I tell you tonight that our forever is coming. Our end is closing in. Amen. I mean, the last sunset may be this week, or the last sunrise. Do you understand? Oh, man. Listen, we're on a course to go home. We're running a great race. Amen. Jesus is coming for his church, his bride. He's going to take us home. He promised that. He's prepared a place for us. Amen. That's why it tells us in Hebrews 12:1 about this incredible race. It says, therefore, since we are also surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, not a particular sin, the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us, the body of Christ, run with endurance the race that is set before us. And what is that particular sin, the sin? It's the sin of unbelief. That you want to be hopeless? Don't believe in the promises of God. Boy, unbelief will steal from you. It'll cripple you. It will paralyze you. It'll keep you right where you are. You'll never move into your destiny, loved one. No, we don't have that. Look at the next letter of the alphabet, Samech. It says, oh, I hate the double-minded. That's pretty tough. But I love your law. That's funny to me. But anyway, in other words, I don't like the people that are divided in their hearts and minds. But I sure love your word, Lord. Listen, you know, if we brought it up to today's language, we'd have to say this. The natural man, those that are in Adam, those that are not born from above, they just don't understand the Christian. They don't understand God's word. They don't understand why you love the Lord. They don't understand why you love your Bible. They don't understand why you want to be in church. Do you understand? They don't understand that. They're natural man. He says, oh, but you are my hiding place and my shield. And here comes that great word again. He says, I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments, or I will keep the word of my God. Do you know what? God is really our hiding place tonight. Amen. Remember what we learned in Colossians not too long ago, that our life is hidden with Christ in God. We are secure. He owns us. Oh, man, no one's going to ever snatch us out of his hand. Man, listen, I pray tonight, may the God of all hope, remember, I think that's in Romans, may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace tonight. because he is the God of all hope, and he's our Father which art in heaven. Amen. Oh, uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Remember Romans, what is it, 5:5? And this hope does not disappoint, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, which was given to us by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen? Oh, we have all that hope. He's the blessed hope, loved one. He says, hold me up and I'll be safe. You know, that's a beautiful prayer. Oh, Lord, just hold me up. If you're holding me, I am safe. And you know what? Remember how you hear me say it all the time? He will never relax his hold upon you. No matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through, he's holding you up right now, right tonight. He says, oh, I'll be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood, and you put away all the wicked of earth like dross. Therefore, I love your word. I love your testimonies, and my flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. He says, oh, he says, I hope. I'm not ashamed of the hope. Listen, he says, I hope in your word. If a person's hope is not in the God of all hope, that person is hopeless. Amen? He's hopeless. Ooh, listen, is there anything worse than being hopeless? Oh, he says, oh, let's look at the next one. It's pronounced I-N. He says, I've done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety, or be my guarantee for your servant for good. And do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail, or literally my eyes are straining from seeking your rescue. Remember that word salvation. This guy believes in God. He's saying that word means deliverance. Save me. He says, and your righteous word, he says, deal with your servant according to your mercy. Teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. And look at verse 126. It is time for you to act, O Lord. Is that a word? Man, have you ever prayed like that? It is time, Lord, right now. I mean, I think God knows when it's time. He says, it is time for you to act, O Lord, and the reason, for they have regarded your law as void. In other words, they're breaking your law. Listen, can I tell you something? To say that, what he said is, it is time for you to act, O Lord. Loved one, listen, no matter the condition of this world, no matter the condition even of the church, God is working in hopeless times. Do you know that? He's working right now. There's a good work going in you right now. It's God that is working. You know, when everything is falling apart, when our government and the COVID and this and that and all the rest of the craziness that's happening in our world, where God's holy word is thrown out the window, morals are just completely vanishing and so forth, people are just tired and depressed and don't know what to do, they're just hopeless. I'm telling you what, God is working. But here's the deal. God is working also in his body, the church, which is not asleep, which is not slumbering. Amen? Jesus told us in John 9:4, so the night is coming when no man can work. Loved one, we're nearly there. I really do believe that. In other words, we're that close. You know, it says in Hebrews, it says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Listen, tonight with this world and the condition that it's in, let's just look at our nation. I'm telling you, all things were created through him, Jesus, and all things were created for him. Listen, I was talking to Paul Koo earlier, and we were talking, and I said, you know, Paul, everything began with Jesus. Everything's going to end with Jesus. Amen. He's the goal of all creation. He was the one who first commanded, and it stood still. And you know what? He's going to give the last command, and it's going to be all over with. Amen. Listen, we have it made because we're in the Lord. Therefore, in verse 127, I love your commandment. And look how much. More than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts, all things I consider to be right, I hate every false way. And listen, God's word is more than just precious fine gold. God's word is true. Amen. Oh, we can build our life on the integrity of God's word. And we have right now, you hold it in your hands, whether it's your real Bible or that iPad, iPhone, whatever you use. I'm not being critical of that. I just like the real paper. It just feels good, doesn't it? Never mind. And I say, Lord, we have the only book on the planet that you inspired. And we hold it in our very hand. Do you know that everything the Bible says about prophecy is true and correct? Do you know that everything the Bible says about science is true and correct? Do you know that everything that God says in his word about sin, hell, death, the grave, whatever, is perfectly correct? We have the word of God. And what did Jesus tell us in John 8:32? It's my life verse, and ye shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. And boy, that's what we desire. Look at the next alphabetical. It's pay. It says, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. Someone said this about the Bible. It says, prize this book of all books. Gregory, he called the Bible this. He said, Gregory, he said, the Bible is the heart and the soul of God. Your testimonies are wonderful. Remember in Isaiah, it says, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Amen. Jesus is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Loved one, listen, the Bible, written over a period of 1,600 years in Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew by 40 different authors. Think about that. Tax collectors. Tax collectors and fishermen. I'll get it in a minute. You know what I'm saying? All of those things, the educated, the uneducated. And you know, why is God's word so wonderful? Look at 130. Because the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It gives light. Now listen, God's word gives light when there is an entry to let the word in. Amen? And who receives it? Look at it. It says it gives understanding to the simple. That means the sincere. And boy, we need that. He says, I opened my mouth and panted. Why? For I longed for your word. I longed for your commandments. Oh, look upon me. Be merciful to me as your custom. I love that. As your custom is toward those who love you. I mean, he was out of breath for the word of God. Panted. He's out of breath. Have you ever been out of breath for the word of God? I mean, I look at that. Dear Lord, does it have that kind of effect upon the 21st century church? And I love what he said. He says, oh, I tell you, God has a custom. Isn't that wonderful poetic language? He says, toward those who love your name. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, he says, for we know that all things work together to those who love God. Amen? Not everyone. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Look at verse 133 now. We're nearly there. We're not far away. About five more pages, all right? He says, direct or establish my steps by your word, and let your iniquity or let no iniquity have dominion over me. Let no sin have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant. Teach me your statutes. Rivers of water, meaning tears, run down my eyes. And look at the reason. Because men do not keep your law. It said, let no sin be my master. Let no sin have dominion over me. That should be our prayer. Amen. You know, Matthew Bruth in 1666 said this. He said, I would rather be a prisoner of man all my life than be in bondage to sin for one day. Good word. Let's look at the next one, alphabet. Zada. That letter represents the Hebrew word righteousness. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. In other words, everything God does is true. Everything God does is right. Everything God does is perfect. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. And look what he says. He says, oh, your word is just not pure. He says, your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. He says, your word is exceedingly pure. It is exceedingly refined, like gold in a furnace. It's been thoroughly tested, thoroughly tried. You know what? This is what I have learned, and I'm still learning. The more you try the Word of God, the more the Word of God proves itself to you. Amen? No wonder even, what did God say in Malachi? He says, prove me now, saith the Lord. Put me to the test. Now, Malachi 3:10, that's where I'm quoting from. The theme is just is about tithes and offerings, but it's talking not about that necessarily. The theme of Malachi 3:10 is the faithfulness of God. He says, prove me, put me to the test in any area, in anything I've ever, just do me. It's the only place ever in the Word of God that God says, prove me, test me. And you know what? When you test God, He proves Himself to be true. He always does that. He's the faithful God. Amen? Yes. He says, oh, I'm small. I'm despised. Yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting, or literally eternal. It's eternal righteousness. And your law is truth. He says, trouble and anguish, that pressure, that stress has overtaken me. Yet your commandments are my delights, meaning my joy. And the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Listen, what a great word. This is what you need in hopeless times. Times of pressure, times of stress. He says, would you just give me understanding in your word, because I want to get through this hopeless time. Amen? And that's what God will do for us. Let's look at the next one, letter of the alphabet. Kaf. It says, I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I arise before the dawning of the morning, and I cry for help. I hope in your word, and I want you to look how much he hopes in his word. He couldn't even go to sleep. Watch. My eyes are awake through the night, watches all through the night, and look at the reason, that I may what? There's that word again. I'm staying awake all night. I am not going to sleep. I am going to chew. I'm going to meditate on your word. He says, oh, hear my voice according to your loving kindness, your unchanging love, in other words. Oh, Lord, revive me. Breathe life into me. I'm dying. He says, according to your justice. Now watch this. They draw near who follow after wickedness, and they are far from your law. Look at this part. You draw near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I've known of old that you founded them forever. You know why we don't have to be hopeless in a hopeless world, or when things look hopeless? It's because of what he just said. He said, listen, my enemies draw near. And then he says, I'm not going to worry. I'm not hopeless because you draw near to me. You know, James 4:8, what does it say? You draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Amen? You can get as close to the Lord as you want to get. All you have to do is draw nigh and get there. Look at the next one here, the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet, resh. It says, consider my affliction, deliver me, rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause, redeem me, revive me according to your word. Do you know that the word of God is living, is powerful, more sharper than any two-edged sword? It's piercing all the way down into the soul and the marrow of a person. Amen. It understands and knows and discerns the intents of every person's heart. And the word of God, when it goes into you and it's alive, it's like living water. Amen. And you know what it does? It revives you. It revives you if it's alive. In other words, when the Logos, when the written word becomes the Rhema, or the when information becomes revelation, what's on that page comes alive in your heart. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, that's how true. Did you know that every major revival started on people hungering, thirsting, believing in the Word of God? Believing it, that it's true. Amen. Listen, you know, D.L. Moody said this. He said, the next great revival will be a revival of the Word of God. And this happens when people believe, when His people believe the Word. Drop down to 160 with me. And here's why. The entirety, everything in the Word of God, the entirety of your Word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. The next letter of the alphabet, Shin. He says, princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. He says, I don't stand in awe of these princes, man. I stand in awe of the word of God, and I rejoice at your word as one who what? Finds great treasure. Now listen, if the word finds means this, you're seeking. It means it takes effort. You're digging, man. You're mining out treasure. And you know what? My flesh tells me there's 1,000 ways not to read the Bible. Amen? The devil will put 1,000 things in your way to get you out of the Word. But let me tell you something. When you mine out Scripture, when you just sit there and meditate on it and you start dissecting it, you circle the pronouns and so forth. You look for the contrast, and you look for all those the promises of God, the commands of God. When you do a rich study in God's word, level, which takes effort, you know what happens? Proverbs 2, 1 through 3 or 5 says this. He says, listen, if you treasure my commands within you, if you incline your ear to wisdom, if you apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment, if you seek, meaning God's word and wisdom, if you seek it as silver, meaning you mine out God's word, and you search for her as hidden treasure, you'll understand the fear of God and you will find the knowledge of God. Man, listen, and that's exactly what we need today. Amen. The wisdom of God, knowledge of God, the wisdom of God is God's knowledge applied to your situation, loved one. He says, oh, I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day, I praise you. Man, have you praised the Lord 7 times today? Amen. He says, why does he do it? He says, because your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope, there's that word, I hope for your salvation. I do your commandments, and my soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Now the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Tav or Tav, I think it's pronounced Tav. It says, let my cry come before you, O God. Give me understanding according to your word. And let my supplication, let my prayer, that is, of supplication, come before you. Deliver me or rescue me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all of your commandments are righteous. And let your hand become my help. For I've chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation. I long for your rescue. He says, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Now watch carefully. He says, let my soul live, and it shall praise you. And let your judgments help me. And this is a great verse that tells us much about why the psalmist wrote this psalm. He says, I have gone astray. Here we go through 176 verses. Amen. He says, and here's the whole problem. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. And look what he asked the Lord to do. He says, would you go after me? Would you seek your servant? For I do not forget your commandments. The psalmist confession. I look at that and I say, dear Lord. He says, you know what, Lord? I've just wandered away like a lost sheep. Would you come and find me? Just come and find me. He says, I'll never forget your commands. You know, what did Jesus tell us in Luke 19:10? He says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. This is a great scripture. You know, maybe those that are listening live, or maybe someone here tonight, you might, I'm asking this question. Have you left the sheepfold? I mean, have you gone? Are you living the way in maybe a pig pen like the prodigal? You know what prodigals do when they leave the Lord and they go out and start living in the world? And they go to the pig pen, they get all dirty, they go to a place they should never be doing or going. You know what they're doing? They're writing their testimony. Do you know that? They're writing this. They don't know that, but they're writing their testimony to share. In other words, they're turning. God's going to turn their mess into a message. Amen. And he's going to bring them back. And they're going to have. Yeah, let me tell you what God did for me. Amen. That's what God does with prodigals. Yeah, don't ever give up. Listen, God is so good. The Bible tells us this as we close tonight, in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. Faith is the substance. Here's the substance, the foundation. Faith is the substance of things what? There's that word. Of things hoped for. And it is the evidence or the proof of things not seen. Here's what faith does. Here's what hope does. Faith and hope see the invisible. Amen. We see things that we see the promises of God with the eye of faith. Amen. The eye, believing God's word, trusting God's word, hoping in the God of all hope. Listen, I don't care how hopeless things look out there. We are not hopeless. We're sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. He is with us and he will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. Amen. Father, thank you for this long psalm. It is a beautiful psalm. Thank you, Lord, that we're just allowed to hear it and just briefly talk about it. And Lord, we thank you tonight again as we lift up all those with this COVID in our church. And Lord, we pray over every doctor, every nurse, every person who works at these hospitals and clinics. Lord, they're exhausted and they're tired. Lord, somehow, some way, put your hand back on our nation. For I feel you've removed it. Put your hand back on America. Oh God, put an end to some of the horrible things that are happening. And as the psalmist just said, oh Lord, revive me according to your word. Lord, breathe life into us again. Breathe life into this nation again, oh God, because it has forsaken you. And our land is polluted. Oh, Lord, cleanse it with the blood of Jesus. So tonight, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's thank the Lord. Amen. God is so good. I thank you for coming out tonight and spending some time with me. And I know you've worked all day, as I have as well, and you're tired, and some of you didn't even get to have dinner. That's why we need servants in the cafe. Yeah. Hey, we have a real chef. You know what I mean? He's a chef Boyardee? No. But, I mean, I'm sampling his cooking. I really, you know, because he's cooking for the kids. And It's going to be good, guys. But that's another story. But anyway, if isn't Jesse's a blessing, isn't he? Listen, I love you guys. Amen. The Lord bless you guys. If you need prayer, you know there's going to be people here to pray with you right after Jesse closes us out. I pray you have a safe journey home in Jesus' name. I love you.